Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this long-awaited episode of Rabbit Hole Recap. Matt and I recorded this last Saturday at the BitBlock Moom Conference, and I'm now posting it Thursday, September 2nd, I believe. Is it the 2nd? 3rd, September 3rd. Sorry for the delay here. A little lag in getting the audio, but we got it. It's here nonetheless. It'll be in our channel forever and ever for you freaks to go back and listen to it. We hit a bunch of topics. Always a fun time doing the live shows. Thank you, freaks, for participating who were there in person. Shout out to Gary Leland and crew for throwing another incredible conference in BitBlock Boom. Always a fun time going to Dallas and wrapping it with other Bitcoiners. Always great vibes. This episode of Tales from the Crypt brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Capital. They actually sponsored the live show at the conference, but we'll also give them a plug here before the show because we weren't able to shill their white glove service. If you're looking to open a vault for the first time, looking to get into multi-sig for the first time, for $1,500, they'll set you up and they'll hold your hand along the process. You'll get hardware wallets sent to you. You'll have one-on-one Zoom conversations with the Unchained team, and they'll walk you through the process of setting that vault up, and then they will get you $1,000 of Bitcoin and put it in the vault. So if you're looking to go from zero to multi-sig with a bunch of help, Unchained Capital is offering that with their white glove service. So go to www.unchained-capital.com. Check out this service. We're going to link to that specific white glove service in the show notes. Use the code TFTC. If you do decide to use that, you'll get $50 off of this white glove service. And then check out their other products. They have the collateralized loan product. You can set up a vault for yourself outside of the white glove process if you're more comfortable with multi-sig and hardware wallets already. And then on top of that, check out their blog, Gradually and Suddenly, by Parker Lewis. Dhruv Bansal has been writing incredible stuff on Bitcoin and space and HODL waves. And Buck Purley is doing some incredible writing as well as Phil Geiger. Incredible content on the site. And then they're contributing to open source as well. So their multi-sig vault coordinator is also open source in the form of Caravan. And on top of that, they've got another more open source initiatives, including Hermit and Slip39. So go check it all out at www.unchained-capital.com. It's www.unchained-capital.com, and we'll have a link to the white glove service in the show notes. This episode's also brought to you by motherfucking Cash App, another good friend of the podcast, and the easiest place to stack sats in the U.S. You can stack sats, send sats, receive sats, and sell sats if you so please. And we're saying sats, because Cash App allows you to make sats the standard. We're not stacking fractions of Bitcoin anymore. We're buying whole sats, whole satoshis. If you don't know, one Bitcoin equals 100 million satoshis or sats. Now you know. Get educated in the sat read. On top of the sat stacking, sending, receiving, and selling capabilities, you can also stack slivers of stonks via Cash App Investing. If your favorite stonk is a little too expensive, if that's your thing, you can buy as little as $1 via Cash App Investing. Because this is all connected to your bank account, there's no 4 to 5 day waiting period to start stacking sats and slivers of stonks today. Cash App may even be your bank account. They're offering account number and routing numbers, so you can direct deposit your paychecks into the app. All right, use the Nuo Bank and Cash App. You get this debit card, your Boost card. It's connected to it. It's accepted anywhere Visa's accepted. You can personalize it. They got cool glow-in-the-dark cards. You can get a straight black card with your signature on it. People look at that like, ooh, you're fancy. Get the Boost card. Pair it with the Cash App. Then use the Boost program. Go to partner merchants and save money wherever you use your Boost card if you have your Boost initiated with that merchant. Make sure when you download the app, if you haven't already, use the code STACKINGSATS, STACKINGSATS. You're going to get $10, and $10 is going to go to our good friends at Owls Lacrosse. That's Owls Lacrosse. Woo! Woo! Also, should note, Cash App Investing, subsidiary Square, member SIPC. Download it. Use the code STACKINGSATS. And enjoy this delayed episode. You guys are getting a 2 for Thursday RHR. Matt and I are going to record in about an hour and 50 minutes from me recording this ad. So even closer to when this episode is dropped on Anchor. Enjoy. Dickie.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Okay, number two, from the Wizard of Oz in Australia, and all the Aussie freaks. We have got a bottle of Red Breast single pot still.
Boss.
So this is for you. No, I was told to give this to you. Not really.
Red Breast.
I said to give it to y'all. So.
Single pot still.
And that's it. Enjoy Rabbit Hole Recap.
Is it? Oh, it's Irish.
Our mic's on?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Testing.
Mic one, two. Can you hear me? Seriously. Okay. What is it, freaks? We've got a delayed Rabbit Hole Recap recording on Saturday. Uh-oh.
Is this better?
There we go.
No Britney modes, y'all.
All right.
So what's up, freaks? Thank you for joining us. Gary just came up here and said thank you to everybody, but I think we should turn and say thank you to Gary for getting everybody together. Great. Always one of our favorite events. This is our second live shutdown of BitBlock Boom. We're very excited to be here, very happy to be here. I personally have to thank a couple other people. I got to shout out Will Cole for letting me borrow his pants last night. Thank you. Got to give a shout out to my buddy Aaron Glenn for letting me borrow his shirt tonight. So I did not bring a full wardrobe.
Do you own luggage?
No, I don't. Clothes.
Low time preference. I try to borrow clothes from anyone in any city.
Go through the airport in a natural way.
So if you freaks are going to tell, we're joined by Justin Moon tonight. Matt O'Dell to my right as usual. And so obviously we do Rabbit Hole Recap every week. We have a schedule, Matt and I shoot the shit. We've done this live show quite a few times. Our first one was hosted by Iterative Capital. I know Chris is in the crowd. So Chris was the impetus for the first one. I think this is our fifth?
At least fourth.
And when we do the live show, we do it a little differently. We have three topics in mind that we'll talk about, but then we like to get interactive with the crowd. So if you guys have any topics that you feel are pertinent that we should discuss on stage, we'll do that. And it's a collaborative effort here during the live show. But to start, as always, we got to start at Clark Moody's dashboard. Really disappointed he's not here tonight. The cost of Bitcoin right now is $11,522. We are currently at block height 645,933. One Bitcoin is worth 5.9 ounces of gold. That's 1.69% of that total market cap, and you can buy 267 barrels of oil. Mike, we're going to need to scroll to there. Thank you. We had a difficulty adjustment this week. I believe the difficulty is at all-time high.
Let's go! 17.6.
Trillion or billion? Trillion, I think. Hash rate over the last 2016 blocks is 122.5 exahash a second. The last increase, which was earlier this week, was 3.6%. And we're estimated right now to have a downward difficulty adjustment of about 1%, but we're a little bit below halfway through, so that is due to change. Let's swipe further to the Samurai Sats, and Matt will jump into this. World pool capacity.
1,457 Bitcoin. That's a decent amount of Bitcoin.
It's a decent amount of Bitcoin. It's a good segue.
I haven't checked, but I think it's an all-time high world pool volume this month.
It sounds like it would be.
It was on to the trajectory, but I wasn't.
Speaking of Whirlpool, what the hell was going on this week, man? The Flame Wars.
You're just going to just jump right into it?
Yeah, right into it.
I've been trying to avoid this Twitter drama. I told Marty I didn't want to talk about it, so he...
We put him on the spot.
He did.
He put me right on the spot. I mean, I guess most of it has come from...
So let's preface this. What is What is this week?
Do you want me to give a synopsis of drama?
Yes,
am I doing a drama synopsis?
Well, it's not
synopsis?
Drama, like what's going on. Are there valid points to be
made? So First Samurai did a disclosure of Wasabi Wallet. They said there was a vulnerability of Wasabi Wallet. They did like a kind of questionable responsible disclosure. They said, we'll give you 15 days to fix it. We show you how to fix it. But if you don't within 48 hours tell people not to use the CoinJoin feature of your wallet, then we will release it. Nopara, the lead dev of Wasabi, said that the disclosure was silly. So then he just released the full Pastebin. He released a full disclosure on Pastebin that they had sent to him before they could even release it.
It's just silly.
So Wasabi says it's not an issue. And the idea of the vulnerability, my understanding of it, I've been kind of distracted this week because of this fantastic conference with all of you people, is that if an actor knows the state of your wallet, they can make it so on Wasabi, when you do CoinJoin rounds, you can do multiple rounds. And I've said on this podcast many times, you want to do remixes because it's multiplicative. Your anonymity set, this crowd that you hide in, increases substantially every time you do another round. If they know the state of your wallet, though, they can.
It's very hard to know the state.
No, wait. So this is the key. So they can remove the advantage of the remixes. So your anonymity set is just your most recent round.
Ah.
And if you've ever used Wasabi, the main way a lot of people use Wasabi is they send a single KYC'd UTXO in that then gets split up deterministically and then goes through the number of CoinJoin rounds that you do. So for a lot of Wasabi users, and the way the actual setup is the default UX flow, chain analysis and regulated companies do know the state of your wallet for all intents and purposes. So it is, to me, it seems like it's an issue. But, you know,
Justin, what are your thoughts on this? Do you engage in the flame wars?
I think I'm in the more of the mainstream on this topic. Every piece of drama gets more and more exhausting and makes me less eager to use any mixing software.
Just very tiresome.
Less trusting of the apparatus.
I can definitely see that point. It is very tiresome. You don't know. One day you have privacy, the next day you don't.
Okay. I mean, it gets to the point of how difficult it is to do proper privacy properly on Bitcoin. You know, both teams are very competent, well-intentioned. There are problems, you know. It's just really hard to do it correctly, I think.
Well, I mean, that's definitely the most frustrating thing for me because I was a very outspoken Wasabi shill.
Wasabi went.
And then I was very critical of them, and they seemed like they didn't want to improve their implementation. And I've been a very outspoken Whirlpool shill. I've been outspoken Joy Market shill. I'm trying for people to care about privacy. Two things here is both teams, I've met both teams. And like they might have me fooled, but I'm pretty sure neither are spooks. And they both, on Twitter, they both call each other spooks, which is super frustrating.
Yeah.
The second thing is Wasabi, although they, you know, claim the implementation isn't broken, they are planning on releasing a completely new implementation that they just announced this week.
This is ETH 2.0? Wasabi 2.0?
Wasabi 2.0. It's going to bring proof of stake to Wasabi. and you're going to be able to yield farm. I wish there was more focus on the actual products rather than the personalities, because this is open source software, so you can critique the code, you can critique the actual implementations. All the personal attacks and stuff are way less effective, and they just, as Justin said, they just scare users off because it's already a complicated thing. I mean, when most podcasters in the space don't know what an XPub is, it's hard to try and help people use CoinJoin.
Ooh.
Yeah, we have an expert here. Britt Kelly explained X-Pubs in about 4 words.
Yeah. You dump it in, you get multiple addresses, no reuse.
Yeah.
While we're on that point, we got to give a shout out to Michael Hawaii for the Macallan 12 tonight. Looks like Five Drink Matt. Maybe on his way out. Am I popping my piece?
Let me hop in here on this topic. Okay, I think.
But I'm just going to make it look even. There we go.
This thing's very stressful, this thing. It's like if you breathe wrong, you hear it, and it's like you're holding your breath up here. One thing I'd like to see more Bitcoin companies do is kind of like promote the like industry, the like little sub industry they're in, right? So like I think all of the hardware wallets would be good if they sort of like promoted the use of hardware wallets and got people to trust them. The multi-sig vendors promoted the idea of multi-sig and just grew that pie. Likewise, if the privacy wallets could be a little less hostile, I think they could increase the trust in those products and make them more widespread. Because right now, I mean, it's impressive numbers, but it's not a lot of Bitcoin relative to how many there are. And I think that they could grow the pie a lot.
Well, I guess that gets into the balance, right? Like how much you want them to take a phrase from Lop, who may be a persona non grata this week. How much co-opetition do you want? Like how valuable is finding these possible bugs and discovering them? How much does that make the software better in the long run?
I mean, it seems like best practices in Bitcoin are not widespread yet. And so I think in a lot of these areas, there's a lot of room for, you know, multi-sig privacy in particular to become more widely used.
But where you see the most toxicity is where the most is at stake.
Yeah.
So with privacy, there's a shit ton at stake. All it takes is one mistake and you've completely screwed yourself. You could get sent to jail, you could lose your life, you can have, you know, stakes are high. With hardware wallets, stakes are also super high.
And lose your net worth.
That is an extremely toxic, hostile environment that we have going on in the hardware wallet space as well. And then on top of that is the whole shit coins, right? And in that situation, the stakes are high in that you could just lose all your money.
Well,
right?
This is sort of an open source thing too. It's like, in most industries, you don't see how the sausage is made, and it's often filthy and disgusting.
Yeah.
And in Bitcoin, fortunately and unfortunately, you see how the sausage is made. And in some of these cases, it's a little chaotic.
Yeah. When sausage?
When sausage, Matt?
Didn't you eat sausage for lunch today? Good man.
6 hours ago. Yeah, so the flame wars go on. Will they ever stop? Probably not.
Never.
Never.
It's kind of beautiful.
I'm in the camp that makes everything better in the long run. But there is that balance. Like, does your immune system get so strong that you have a cytoclimatic...
We don't want you trying to pronounce things up here after a drink or two, Marty. You have trouble with like three-letter acronyms. Let's not get into science.
Basically, you don't want your immune system so strong that it attacks you.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll keep documenting the flame wars. They're sure to keep going on. Speaking of flame wars, alluded to it a little bit in that previous segment. INX. I frankly, just going to preface this, I don't give a shit. People want us to talk about it. It seems pretty stupid. I don't know why you need to tokenize equity. Equity seems to work pretty well. Right?
Shit corner.
There's some hypocrisy in here with the dependence.
You don't care?
I mean,
don't think it's like a slap in the face a little bit when we're trying to do it more ethically and they...
You can't control other people, right?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things here. Some people don't like that it's on ETH. So INX, what is INX? INX is a security token exchange launched by a bunch of Bitcoiners that hasn't even launched yet, doesn't exist. And this is their exchange token, INX. And there was a lot of controversy on Twitter because they kind of all tweeted it out in unison because the pre-sale launched or the sale launched. They were in the pre-sale and now, or they got advisor tokens and now the actual sale is launching. So there's like a couple reasons people are mad, right? It's the ETH thing. Samson specifically has been super against ETH, and now you know, he's involved with a token that is on ETH and uses ETH for gas fees. His own project, Blocks News Project Liquid, is supposed to try and put tokens on a Bitcoin-denominated chain. And then I think, I mean, why I don't like it is because I don't like exchange tokens. I think exchange tokens have a ton of risk, regulatory, custodial risk, trusted third-party risk just in general.
They're utility tokens. They don't make any sense.
Yeah, and like the way the prospectus is set up, like it's based on cash flow, so you don't really know for sure if they, how they structure it, right? They can operate at a loss, and then you don't get anything. So I actually, the ETH stuff for me is just like they're hypocritical, you know? It's just very hypocritical. I am more angry is the wrong word, but I'm more disappointed in just shilling exchange tokens to retail for an exchange that hasn't even fucking launched yet. That's what pisses me off the most. But I, for better or worse, like people shouldn't be surprised. Like that group of people is like it's this is known.
Yes, I mean that's all I have to say about that. I mean Matt's.
I mean, you didn't really say much
about
it.
I don't have much to say. Yeah.
You didn't really have a strong opinion on it, Marty.
It's really uninteresting to me. Honestly,
when token?
What? Never. Sats are my safe haven.
I'll keep Marty honest.
Next thing I wanted to talk about particularly.
Wow. What is Justin's opinion on it?
Oh, damn it. I almost got out of that. I was real quiet.
What do you think?
I mean, I think there's one thing that Matt didn't mention is that the, you know, when you see people getting tokens that for a price that, you know, orders of magnitude less than it was ever sold publicly is... causes some anger because that was really abused in the past
90x.
And present. Yeah, it's like 100x. Like, I think there's, I think if you accept something like that, you got to be mindful of that, especially if you sort of build a brand as like a Bitcoin personality, like a few of these people do. You're going to be held to sort of an irrationally high standard, and that's what you signed up for. Yeah. And I think that's what we love about conferences like this is you meet all these people who see in Bitcoin like sort of the one, the light at the end of the tunnel, to use Parker's phrase. And so, you know, I don't think you can complain if you're held to a high standard. That's why we're here.
No, I completely agree. But are you really surprised that something like this is happening?
No.
No. Yeah.
I actually, my only response, people were like, you didn't have a response. I retweeted a tweet from December because we already knew INX was coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Alan on the podcast to talk about it like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember you did. Like, I was not included in that episode.
We're going to crush you on Twitter. We're going to crush you this next week.
I'm a shill. Actually got part of the pre-sale, too. Kidding.
What's the next topic, Marty?
Let's move along.
No. Next topic went a little underscored this week, but I wanted to bring it up. Obviously, I have... I'm a bit biased because... I'm in this industry, but what the hell? Equinor is a publicly traded oil and gas company, and they are partnering with Crusoe Energy to mitigate flare in the Bakken with Bitcoin mining. So you have a publicly traded energy company this week come out and announce that they're using Bitcoin to help solve their environmental problems with flare mitigation. And obviously, I work for a company that does that. Great American Mining. And
when you see a lot of that this week, like this is a fun thing about being in Texas is that this is where you have some of the most sophisticated energy operators on the planet. And a few of them were here and, you know, I'll be talking about Bitcoin wallets and they're, you know, listening and not understanding everything. And then they start talking like basic hydrocarbon chemistry and my eyes roll. So it's fun to see the interchange of these two groups. And there's a lot of people that seem hell bent on mining Bitcoin with excess gas.
We're hell-bent on it. Yeah. And so we've been doing a weekly webinar to try to educate the oil and gas industry about Bitcoin particularly. It's foreign to a lot of oil and gas folks now, but the title of our webinar is Bitcoin and Oil and Gas, a Symbiotic Relationship. It's truly a symbiotic relationship in the fact that Bitcoin needs to have more distributed hash power geographically. And the opportunity that the waste gas situation in the U.S. provides to do that is great for Bitcoin. And then on top of that, Bitcoin solves a problem that the oil and gas industry has with this waste flare that is enormous, and they can both help each other out, the network and the industry, pretty intently. So it's exciting to see a publicly traded oil and gas company here in the United States come out and admit that they're mining Bitcoin on their fields. They don't want to hold the Bitcoin. They don't care about the Bitcoin. They just care about their flare mitigation. But Crusoe is happy to mine that Bitcoin.
That's the beautiful thing, is that they engage in this from a pure economic incentive. You don't need ideology,
right?
It's gorgeous. I mean, and this is where I come from with Bitcoin and Bitcoin privacy and privacy in general, right? I think these are tools that people will use when they need to. When they find the need to, they will use them and they will seek them out and they will ignore the drama that happens and they will try and seek out good information because they have a desire, because they have a need to. Mike, can you scroll this back to the price? Not that I'm in it for the tech, but if you could just
are you gonna make people
this.
Market buy right now?
I feel like we should market stack. Can we?
There we go.
There we go. Is American HODL in here?
Ooh, we've pumped like $100 since we started.
Yes, sir.
He hasn't even said hi to me.
What's up, Matt?
Pay attention.
He said pay attention. What are we paying attention to?
I don't know. He wasn't paying attention. Someone had to get his attention.
Right, he's on Cash App. He's busy.
Last time we did a live stream, I told everyone to stack. It was the local top. So, you know, we ended up going down to 3,500. It was a long year. So if you want to stack, feel free to stack. If you don't, you know.
You know what? We're going to switch it up this year. Everybody go sell a little bit of Bitcoin.
For what?
I love it.
Keep for good honest. Juju. It's for good juju. We're trying to change the luck here, all right?
Not look, we're up. It. We're going.
Yeah. YouTube is watching.
Moondance. Stack.
Stack. Stack, and if you are stacking, make sure you're putting a personal custody this week. A... Boss, this week, a court in California ruled against the plaintiff who sued Coinbase for not awarding him or providing him with his Bitcoin gold fork. I believe he had 350 Bitcoin on the exchange. He wanted access to...
Oh, stupid man.
Very stupid. He wanted access to that Bitcoin gold. Obviously, Coinbase did not provide that fork to their users. And the California court said, hey, not your keys, not your coins. Coinbase can do whatever the fuck they want with that. So, it is, yes. That if you listen to Jeff Vandrew's talk earlier today, you do have to mark those at a cost basis when they do offer you those tokens, though. I believe if you don't touch the private key to actually access the, if it was Bitcoin Gold, you don't get...
That's the part I didn't understand. I thought you actually are supposed to declare it, like,
even if you could claim it. No, I think, Jeff, if you don't claim it,
Jeff,
are you liable?
Go to the microphone. Is there a microphone?
I don't know if they have one set up.
Do we have a question?
We need like a 1-800.
Just come up here and speak 3 inches from my mouth.
We need like 1-800 Vandrew, you know, the Bitcoin community. We can just dial Jeff and he'll get us out of whatever.
Yeah, Mike is shaking his head. They don't have a microphone.
This is our first in-episode tax advice brought to you by Jeff Andrew.
This is not tax advice.
He is not a bodybuilder. He's not your bodybuilder.
He's not your bodybuilder.
Gary's coming with a microphone. Gary's coming with a mic.
Let's give it up for Gary one more time.
Let's go over the things that happened to Gary. Gary had a hotel back out on him. He had
a hotel back out on him.
The hotel shut down.
The hotel shut down 2 weeks ago. That didn't stop Gary.
I don't know if it's on.
Jeff, now that you're on stage, you can't leave the stage. You're here for the rest of the episode.
You're talking to a... Don't pull too hard.
Yo, poor Mike.
All right.
We're going to do this. This is now, this is awkward, but it's the best we're going to do. So if Justin and I are now just going to be one, we're literally Siamese twins here. I'm attached to Justin by his wiring. Yeah, so if you hold the keys, as soon as you have what's called dominion and control over the fork, meaning you could have claimed those coins, Justin was right. At that point, you have ordinary income at the amount of the fair market value at the time. So for most forks, that's going to be zero. Like, most of these forks don't ever become marketable, and they just don't really have a fair market value. But for Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin Gold, those had a fair market value, so you should have claimed ordinary income at that time. If you had your coins on Coinbase, you don't claim the ordinary income until Coinbase credits it to you, because you didn't have dominion and control over your coins until Coinbase decided to credit that. So in the case of Bitcoin Gold, you never had any income at all because you never got it if it was on Coinbase.
I don't like this. I don't like this.
There is, I should say, there is some level of debate. I think it's really, really weak. My opinion is the majority opinion. Like, it's not just mine. There are cases going back.
All right.
These guys are a little rusty, I think, from no conferences for 6 months.
I like how you're just holding your mic now.
You look like Bob Barker.
Yeah. What? The survey says.
Today, what we've got going on over here.
Can I don't? Yeah, it's not gonna work. Anyway, a California court ruled against a plaintiff who wanted to sue Coinbase. I guess if you don't get access to those coins via Coinbase, you don't have to pay taxes. If you just have them as private keys, you have to pay taxes. That's pretty fucked up.
Wait.
Yeah, well, the idea is you could have taken the action to grab those coins and sell them.
That's, you could have, but what if you didn't even care to?
There are, I mean, that opinion exists. It's out in the wild that you're throwing out there, but there are cases going back a very long time, not involving Bitcoin. It's what's called the Trevor Trove line of cases.
Who put that up
where
there?
Where if you have a...
How much did Matt lose?
His we have a prompt on the screen.
Yeah, we're getting questions.
Wait, no, Mike, what the fuck's going on over here? Is that your question? Okay, I lost 10 million sats, but it was worth it because I'm glad the conference
happened.
Who'd
you bet the 10 million sats with?
Two different people. I bet two people that this conference was going to get canceled because I didn't think Gary had the balls to do it. But I love you, Gary, and I'm glad it wasn't canceled. And I did buy it as soon. I like locked my price in. We were at like $9,000. I locked it in. I bought 10 million sats just to cover it. It's an expensive conference for me.
Honestly, hand up. I didn't think it was going to happen either. I booked my flight Thursday night.
But I want. Yeah, I mean, Marty. Marty was like. Like, I had my flight and my hotel booked a month ago, and my Marty, like, you kept ignoring my Telegram messages. You're like being a little bit.
Eh.
But anyway, let's go back to this conversation. The fear I have,
yeah,
regardless of whatever your tax take is, the fear here is Coinbase decides which fork is real Bitcoin. Is my non-legal understanding of this case. So if there is a fork, you know, let's say. Bitcoin regulatory.
Bitcoin with 2% inflation.
No, or like Bitcoin KYC, right?
Yeah.
Coinbase decides if that's the fork that you're on. They decide which chain you're on.
They did it with Ethereum.
Yeah, they did it with Ethereum. Like, yeah. ETC is the original chain and just got 51% attack for the third time.
7,000 blocks.
But they chose four people that ETH was going to go along with that fork, right? So trusted third parties are security holes, and it really doesn't matter what the court says because that's the case, right?
And those terms and conditions that you don't read, like, those matter in this case. And I assume that Coinbase's TNC covers this sort of thing, and yeah, not in your favor, right? Yeah.
Coinbase does not give a
But this also is same with Cash App or whatever, who's the sponsor of the podcast. Like, if you have your money there, I did the disclosure in the... If you have your money there, they can decide which fork is the real Bitcoin.
Yeah. Right.
I trust that team to make a good decision.
No, Marty trusts, but you should just withdraw your money so don't have to.
Withdraw, you can... If you freaks didn't know, you can send sats off the app into a personal wallet. One thing, staying on the subject, we didn't talk about this. I didn't see you tweet about it.
I saw the Samurai crew tweeting about it. Apparently there was a transaction made between exchanges that was FATF compliable, or...
Oh, I didn't say compliant. Compliant is the word you're looking compliant. For?
I was going to say compatible, and it turned into compliable.
I missed that.
You did miss that?
No.
Yeah. It was an actual transaction on the blockchain that was somehow Financial Action Task Force compatible. I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have not seen this.
Well, there's a working group that's like Kraken, Coinbase, and like a bunch of other exchanges that are trying to do like FATF travel rule compliance, where they know the sender and the receiver and they share that information amongst each other, which is a really slippery slope in terms of privacy, but it is like kind of inevitable.
Yeah, this was in Switzerland.
that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Expect it. Should we open it up now?
Yeah, I mean, do we have a mic, though, that they can use for questions?
Yeah, Mike?
Let's give them 15 minutes.
We got a mic, in the back.
Mic in the back. Can you,
check, guys, line up in the back?
Y'all
doing all right tonight? BitBlock, boom!
Gatling gun us with questions, please.
No questions.
Dude's been drinking since 8 a.m.
Hi, I have a question. So, so if there is a fork, and you know the value of the fork is value at the time of like the first time there is a marketable value, I think there might be a way the Fed can attack Bitcoin. So they can create a fork, print $5 trillion, and make this fork like five times the value of Bitcoin. And then, you know, you would have an income that is, you know, five times your value of your Bitcoin. And, like, you will, you know, have to sell your Bitcoin to pay this income. So I'm curious to have your thought on this thought exercise.
I think I heard that. I'm just going to repeat that to make sure I heard that correctly. You were asking if there's, like, a tax attack using forks. Is that the case? Like, someone can...
No, so the Fed will create a fork.
The Fed will create a fork.
Classic Fed.
And they will print, you know, $5 trillion or whatever amount they will want to print. And therefore, this fork will be, you know, five times the value of Bitcoin or 10 times the value of Bitcoin. At the time it's first, you know, there is a first value for this coin. And if, you know, if you follow the guideline, right, like you will have to pay tax on this new, you know, fork of Bitcoin that is 10 times the value of Bitcoin. And then it means you would have to, you know, sell your Bitcoin to pay this tax, right? I mean, curious to get your thoughts.
They could theoretically do that, but they could also just ban Bitcoin and make it illegal. And like, if you wanted to use Bitcoin, you'd be in the black market, right? And
that would just be easier. Yeah. I think it would be way easier just to ban Bitcoin. And also, if they created $5 trillion on the fork and claimed that had some high enough fair market value that you would get taxed on it, they would also, in order to support that fair market value, have to allow you the ability to trade those coins for dollars at that rate. So that would be a great deal for you. I'd happily pay taxes on $5 million if you want to give me $5 million, right? So, you know.
No, well, what happens if it just immediately crashes? So well, like, yeah, like well, that, three people get the $5 million rate and then it would do, right?
Because as soon as you make a liquid market...
Well, I mean, what would they just offer that $5 million to the first person to claim it?
Yeah, they give it to, like, Lop, Samson, Ricardo.
Well, the issue then would be fair market value. Like, if that was a fair market value the Fed was only going to honor for one or two claimants, then it's not a true fair market.
Yeah, we get fought in court.
Exactly.
Is the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you have to have some kind of trust in our judicial system.
Exactly.
Right?
And it would make the Fed look so bad and so arbitrary and so ridiculous that
they don't care.
It'd be so much easier just to ban Bitcoin.
Are you saying they don't look like that already?
To average people, absolutely they don't. Yeah. I mean, look at the stock market.
Right. Well, hasn't been brought up yet, but this week Jerome Powell made a historic speech. They're going to keep targeting 2% inflation.
No, they were never. They were going to go past it now, right?
Yeah, they're going to try and go over it because they can't reach it. They're going to create price stability by raising prices. That's their mandate. It's very confusing.
Next question, Ben the Carmen.
What's up? I hate to do this to you, Matt, but I want to talk about the Wasabi vulnerability. from the Wasabi's team's perspective, it's a feature, not a bug, where because there's determinism to for the UTXO selection, so that way when you disconnect and you requeue up your coins, you're not revealing other UTXO links, and that was like the main point of why it was called silly and like an actual feature of the software, not a bug. I don't know, I just want to make that clear.
But most people aren't disconnecting.
Like
classic flow is to send in a large UTXO. See, this is what's frustrating, right? Because I have to argue about this with people who have never used either. I know you have. I'm not saying this to you,
no,
right?
You're good. You're good.
But like I had like a 19 tweet thread on how Samurai works. And Mr. Hoddle showed that he had never even tried to use it. He's just been talking shit and has no idea how it works. And it's the same thing. I went on Block Digest and I had a discussion with No Power and Shinobi on Block Digest about it. And No Power had no idea how the fee structure worked. Just zero idea whatsoever, right? And so when I use Wasabi, I'm gonna dock some transactions here. I do the normal UX flow. You send in a large UTXO and it gets split up and you let it remix. That's what everyone does. Is it not?
No, I agree.
So is it silly?
Well, the idea is so like, okay, say you send in like 0.2 Bitcoin and you click them both to queue them up. It's gonna only queue up like one UTXO to mix, but you don't wanna link multiple UTXOs together by mixing them together. And if you disconnect, like say your internet goes out for 5 minutes, while you're waiting for a round, it might put like UTXO in A and B the first time, but the second time it'll do B and C. And now you unnecessarily linked like B and C together when you only really need to reveal A and B to do your mix.
So A, B, B, C. I can see that. I mean,
I like kind of lost it for a little bit.
I get it. The B is matching the A with the C, correct?
Yeah, like you originally you only wanted to reveal A and B are linked. But since you disconnected, and if you add randomness,
but no one's disconnecting.
Your internet might go out, or like.
Oh, my internet's gonna go out.
Like during.
Why don't they build the disconnect into the fucking software?
No, like, it's like a failsafe.
I think like if I have to, it makes my job harder as someone trying to shill these projects if I have to like list like all these things that you have to do. You know, like you have to disconnect your internet in between, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like, the best practices should be relatively built in. And if it's not, like, people are just gonna fuck up. Like, there's no way that they're ever gonna figure it out, and they're just gonna dox all of their transactions, and it's gonna be on a ledger there forever. Because if we're right and Bitcoin succeeds, like, this ledger is gonna fucking exist forever, and all that information is gonna be there, and that's what concerns me.
Speaking of which, was that you messing with Umbrel? Is that an Umbrel?
Yeah, I did Umbrel.
What?
I did Umbrel right before I left.
That looks like some of the best UX I've seen from a node perspective.
It's pretty slick.
Let's steel man it. Like, what's wrong with it?
Well, it just has no features yet. It's like really early.
Okay. But did you like the experience?
It's very slick. It
has like a plug-in architecture. That's the big thing, right? Like you're going to be able to.
Well, they have no plugins yet.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the idea is they built out the architecture for that, right? Yeah,
it's very clean. It's a UX-friendly node implementation that is privacy-focused at the same time.
Were you able to open a Lightning channel before fully synced? Is that what
with Umbrel?
Yeah,
I haven't actually. I've just synced it.
Okay. All right.
I have on my desk. I have 4 Raspberries and 2 Noddles. And I just don't have enough time. I just don't have enough time today. I don't even know why I bother. Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. We love you.
It's my turn.
Yo.
Where's Vake?
What I don't know where Vake is.
Where's Vake?
I don't know, but this is my question. All right, what's up, fellas? Okay, so this is mostly like towards Marty because when I had Matt on my podcast, like Shameless Shill, A Boy Named Sue, that's my podcast, if y'all give a fuck. If not, that's cool. But Marty, okay, so you had Christian Decker and his friend on from, you know, they're working on L2 and shit. And then some point in that podcast, you turn around and you're like, Matthew! And so my question is like, did he pass out? Was he drooling? Like,
which podcast was this?
It was a few months ago. I don't really. But you had Christian Decker on, and his friend.
He still doesn't know what episode it was. We never had Christian Decker on, did we?
We never had Christian Decker on.
Whoever is working on L2, right? You had two guests on at once, and then at some point in the episode,
I think we had Matt Corallo on. And
this next question.
No. Matt was not there.
I don't know.
Next question, I think.
Did you spill something on yourself?
No, I never was. I'm always like I'm
next,
in
next question.
Form. I'm in decent form, right? Tell the freaks.
Yeah,
tell
decent,
the
decent form. Decent form.
Make it happen. Make it happen. Fuck you, Phil. Next question.
All right. Cool.
Is Matt really the founder of CuckMentality.com? This is
Well, go to CuckMentality.com. See where it takes you.
All right. So I have TFTC to thank for introducing me to Clark Moody's dashboard. It's the best. But typically y'all say, oh, this is the Grayscale Premium. Y'all didn't do that this week. Why?
Why do you trade the Grayscale Premium?
No, I'm asking why do y'all announce it and you didn't this week?
Oh, the Grayscale Premium's not on the dashboard anymore.
Oh, why was that?
I think their data feed stopped.
It's my fault.
It is?
No, Marty cares about it. I don't really give a shit.
No, I pulled it up one day and it was like negative 100%. And so I tagged American Hot. I was like, hey, it's free money. Go get it, you know.
Oh, so if you try and build a site that tracks prices and you try and track like actual stock prices, it's actually very difficult. And like one of the things that's really cool about Bitcoin is starting with Gox, which was a horrible exchange. They had an open API, so all the other exchanges ended up having an open API. So it's actually really easy to build a website that tracks Bitcoin prices from many exchanges, and it's really difficult to track historical stock prices. It's fucking crazy. Even like gold, oil, all of these things, it's like the APIs is very difficult. It's all behind paywalls, all over the place.
Love you guys. Love the pod.
Thank you. No, and to speak to the GBTC premium, why you pay attention? I think it's just a good gauge of institutional.
The institutional money's coming.
Yeah, I guess for the time being, right?
Yeah.
Until there are better options.
Yeah, MicroStrategy is a better option now. It's a quasi ETF. Yeah.
What's up, guys? Love the podcast.
Do you like
podcast.
Samurai by chance?
Maybe not. Anyway, I work on Ronin Dojo. I'm a developer for that. And thank you.
Not only do you like it, you're contributing. Thank you.
But I want to say, Matt, I think you're doing a great job explaining that there are user errors that people are prone to in this stuff, especially with Wasabi. And I'm not just going to come to sling mud on that. I think that, in general, this whole debate, this whole flame war that we see can actually help improve privacy. And privacy is not something that is something to be taken lightly. When Wasabi fucks up, when Samurai fucks up, people go to jail. And it's not, as much as we want to keep the debate level-headed here, whenever you're talking about implications like that, it's just really hard to. So whenever you have something like the Plus Token guys getting hemmed up and now they're all sitting in jail because they didn't use their CoinJoin implementation right, the one that they chose, that for me says everything.
Yeah. And this is something I feel. This is why we front-load our disclosures. When we shill a product, when we shill a project and we tell users how to use it and there's a vulnerability, like it hits me, like when that vulnerability happens and like it hurts, right? It
I
like
almost feel a little hurts. Responsible.
And I
right,
turned to Marty,
people.
And we're just like, we got to do it. You got to put it right in the front. You got to tell the users, you know, like we told you this thing, but we were wrong about that. And this is what the reality is, right? And like, you just have to fucking own it, because what matters, right? Like, what are we doing here? What's the whole point of everything we do?
Yeah, no, I agree. I do think the Plus Token people should be in jail, though.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
And there's more than that in jail, and I don't want to go into
no,
it.
I agree.
But, whenever we're talking about the implications of, you know, what can go wrong with a CoinJoin implementation, without being critical of other teams or anything, I just want to say what's at stake here, and that's why we're taking these debates so seriously.
No, yeah, and that's why I said I think this actually makes everybody stronger in the long run. It's a bit tiresome at times, but
agreed.
Iron sharpens iron. It'll get better. And I think, hopefully this is why we should push for things like BIP Taproot. You create the primitives buzzword to make privacy more innate in the protocol. So I think it's gotten better over time, demonstrably better, the ability to attain privacy at the protocol.
It's only going
to
get better. We'll reduce the, you know, things that cause user error, and that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. You just need to build systems that make it hard for users to create errors.
And just cheers to the new Ronin Dojo UI that's coming out. I'm really excited for it.
Thanks,
that.
Man.
Thank you.
Next question.
First of all, thanks, you guys, for everything you do. Appreciate it. You know, love the podcast. Keep doing it.
Thank you.
Second thing, you know, privacy is a major topic on this podcast. Just wanted to hear your opinion on, you know, after doing a coin join, is there any value to swapping those UTXOs for like a privacy coin like Monero and swapping back to Bitcoin? And the practicality of that, is it worth it? You know, just your opinion on that.
I've never done it personally. I can, that's Monero Shill's main marketing ploy.
Not even Shum,
they're saying Monero's the best second layer to Bitcoin for privacy that exists.
I kind of view Monero as like a...
an ugly cousin.
It's a coin join. It's a mixer with a worthless utility token attached to it. but like a utility token that's going to trend to zero. Look, when you cross chain, obviously you increase your privacy guarantees. Unless you just do coin join. If you do coin join plus a swap, then you're all things equal, you're increasing your privacy guarantees. It is a taxable event. Your mileage may vary. Thank you for asking me that question at a Bitcoin conference and putting me on the spot. So appreciate that.
Perry.
Hey, Jeff, two-part question kind of. Fair market value, what's like the magic threshold? I mean, if Bitcoin Gold's listed on one exchange, is that, then it's got a fair market value? I feel like you touched on that a little bit earlier. And then the second part, if you're getting Bitcoin for services, who's the IRS looking to for your cost basis? I know they're probably going to put the onus on you, but who are you supposed to look to? Like what exchange? I mean,
For fair market value, any reasonable method is acceptable as long as you're consistent. So if you're using one of the indices online that aggregates an average across various exchanges, that's fine. If you're using just one of the larger exchanges in terms of their value that lists the coin, that's fine. It's any reasonable, consistent method.
I'm telling you, the best way to do this is use BTC Pay Server. You just download the CSV, give it to your...
That is really nice.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did my taxes this year and handed them the BTC Pay Server CSV file, and it was very easy.
Well, Jeff, my question was kind of more, what is the magic threshold from when you have a fair market value versus when you don't?
Like
something that doesn't ever have a fair market value.
It's a fairly subjective standard, but it's sort of like the Supreme Court's definition of pornography. You kind of know it when you see it. you know,
it, Do you?
If something's trading, if something...
Sorry.
Or not. Yeah.
Continue.
Marty has strong opinions on pornography.
Stop watching porn.
Yeah. no, I mean, you know, look, if it's trading on a major exchange and there's any sort of reasonable volume, then it's got a fair market value. If it's trading on an exchange with little to no volume, or it's not trading on a quote-unquote one of the major U.S. exchanges, then I'd be comfortable claiming on a return typically that has zero fair market value and zero. I will tell you that personally, I'll dox myself on this, it's fine. People know where to find me anyway. Holding Bitcoin, I've only ever claimed Bcash and Beagle and Bitcoin Gold. I've never bothered with any of the other forks as having a fair market value.
Bitcoin Rhodium?
I don't even know what that is.
What about Bitcoin 2-Gen, Steven Seagal's?
Not familiar, haven't followed it.
Before we get to the next question, Justin, what was it like driving up here with Parker Lewis?
So if you guys are ever in a car with Parker Lewis, this is what you do. You have him maybe get comfortable, put some country music on or something. Just start talking about sports or something. And then mention, I was watching CNBC and this guy, Jerome Powell, I don't know if you heard of him,
got on to give a speech, and then you just stopped talking for 3.5 hours. And it's like a master's degree in how the dollar works and everything. And I forget it as soon as I get out of the car. It's like his truck is like this magic zone where you understand monetary economics. And you, but as soon as you get out, it's gone.
You just remember how it made you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my Twitter mutuals has a saying that is, women are passionate about social justice. It's sort of a catch-all response to many things on Twitter. You could kind of flip that around and say Parker Lewis is passionate about the Federal Reserve.
This is true. Just it's a good passion. We need more passionate people like Parker. Parker put out, I think, his best piece to date this week, Bitcoin is One for All. I thought that was the best first principle piece that you put out to date. Gradually and suddenly, you don't have to check it out. Disclaimer, Unchained Capital is a sponsor of the podcast. Kevin.
Yo. Yeah, I think I'm the last question for the night. So I was just wondering, I saw Marty in the back all day today. Just down the line, what was everybody's favorite talk from today for your viewers that want to know what they should look at on YouTube?
I thought Jeff's was the most actionable. Very good advice.
Yeah.
I like Jimmy's talk about how Bitcoin is an extension of natural law theory. Again, Unchained Capital is a sponsor of the pod, but I really like Parker's talk as well. And
I like Britt's talk because I think a lot of people... BTC Pay is becoming more and more accessible, and it's something that more and more people should try.
I mean,
and I was going to say, this is Brit's first U.S. Bitcoin conference.
Shout out to Brit. I mean, honestly, we've said it on this podcast many times before. As a user, BTC Pay Server is one of the best products out there. Like, it is one of the most important products out there. If you're just a merchant who wants to accept Bitcoin as payment, they make it as easy as possible.
It's weird because it's like this open source project that you don't pay for and you feel bad you don't pay for it, and you get into their support channel and it's like you have better service than you do at your bank. Right? It's unbelievable. Yeah, these
better
like
than Coinbase.
Unpaid volunteers with like weird handles answer all your questions.
While we're on this, Rockstar Dev. So we've been doing the BTC Pay server. Stay humble.
We're getting the weirdest messages.
We're getting
here.
Weird There's messages like, up here. We've been told to announce.
I feel like
that.
You guys remember the show Ghostwriter on PBS? This is what like looking at the screen is like.
Someone told me that Britt almost slept through her speaking spot out late last night.
Okay, Britt was out late last night. Apparently, a lot of people were out.
Cheers.
Late. But we've been doing the BTC Pay server. Stay humble, hats. Donating 25% to BTC Pay. The way Rockstar Dev wanted to do that was to give away hats at this conference, but he didn't show up, and the hats haven't showed up yet either. So we will.
They're getting shipped to Gary's house.
Yeah, Gary, you're getting a
Marty
bunch of hats shipped
that was
to your
the
house.
Best
and
idea.
We're going to have you ship them somewhere else.
We're going to need
that.
To reship them.
Yeah, we'll pay for it.
We'll make it happen. We'll have OpenNode pay for it. Just for goodwill. Just the community. They have to pay for it.
I think we have about like eight minutes left. 9:20.
What are we going to talk about? We have no more questions.
No,
don't
I think we can.
Yes, like, we have questions.
Oh, not this guy. Oh, no.
Go for it.
We have what a bend.
Someone are you still alive?
Prop him up.
You guys aren't getting away with this.
This might get a little
questions.
Wild now.
What we are concerned about is, I don't know, what are we concerned about, guys? where we want to know what your actionable steps are and what are you doing to make the community a better place. That's what we want to know.
There is no community, there are only individuals.
There's a community, fuck you. What the fuck is this?
We've got 10 to 15 minutes if we want. No, that's actually what I was going to lean into is I think we should reflect on how cool it is that a bunch of like-minded individuals can meet in Dallas, Texas when it's...
Check one.
Arguably socially unacceptable to do so.
Hey y'all, can I have y'all's attention right quick? We got a lighter that came in a leather case. Anybody would like to claim it or get a new lighter? It's going to be over here. Anyways, I digress. Back to y'all. Folks.
Kurt Vile joined us this weekend, everybody.
No. I know what I want to do. Parker, bring me the shit I'm auctioning. We're auctioning this.
We're auctioning off a...
for BTC Pay server, right?
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever been asked to autograph anything in my life.
Congratulations.
Jeff Vander's autograph's going out. It's a picture of him bodybuilding in the 90s.
You can you're gonna be able to fake checks if you get this, because that's an outdated system of payment. Who do we have? Chris Dannon. We need you to sign this. Little Bitcoin book. Limited edition hard copy. PGP signed by Jimmy. Awesome. For BTC Pay server.
We got one more question, y'all.
So yesterday we auctioned... Wait, what was that question?
Go ahead. It's cool.
Oh, well, we're not going to talk about that. Okay.
Told my in-laws, I don't care. I'm going anyway.
Okay, so this is a picture of Bitcoin Sign Guy. Our good friend who got behind Janet Yellen.
He's an Urbiter now.
What?
He's an Urbit winner now.
Yeah, I mean, Urbit's a shitcoin. And so we have this nice visualization of it, and it's signed by a lot of people on the back, except for Chris Dannon, which I don't know where he is. So, but we have a lot of signatures on here. And then we also have this little Bitcoin book by Jimmy Song, who spoke earlier, and Parker's walking up to me like I've said something wrong. And we're gonna auction these off for charity, because I was able to auction off a cutting board for 60 million sats yesterday, which was impressive. It was very impressive. You didn't buy it.
I did, though.
You didn't buy it, though. You got outbid. It was low, but you didn't outbid him. So what's going on here, Parker? I did like five calls for a rebid there, and you didn't even bid, and you're saying it's low.
You also went backwards a couple times. The bid was going up and then back down.
Well, no, because I got excited.
Yeah, you did.
I get excited.
You did. Leave Parker alone.
If you want to win tonight, you got to call individuals out.
I got to call individuals out.
Yeah. Like,
is that why you came up here?
Yeah. No, everybody who's spoken today has
signed. Oh, every single person who's spoken today has signed. That was a better explanation than what I said. I said people signed. But yeah, every person who spoke today, except for Chris Dannon, has signed this, and we will make sure Chris signs this.
Where we start the bidding. Corner.
Yeah.
Tell people not to hodl tonight. Not
to hodl?
Not tonight.
Don't hodl on this. Buy this. Okay.
Well, let's tell them why they should buy it. It's going to a very good project, one we've talked about already tonight, BTC Pay Server. It is open source, like Justin and I were talking about earlier. It is incredible that you're just able to download it and use it. The value that you accrue from BTC Pay Server is way above and beyond what you pay, which is nothing.
Okay, so let's get started. We're going to start with... which one should we start with, Marty?
I thought they were going together.
No, separate.
All right, we'll start with the little book of Bitcoin, starting at 5 million sats. We have 5 million sats out there.
5 million sats for BTC Pay Server Little Bitcoin Book. Do we have 5 million sats?
PGP signed.
Come on, guys, you fucking bitches. Let's go.
5 million
sats. Do we have 6 million sats? 6 million sats for Little Bitcoin Book signed, PGP signed, by Jimmy Song himself. Do we have this? 6 million sats. Come on. Come on. We got 6 million sats. Do we have 7 million sats for Little Bitcoin Book by Jimmy Song? I don't know why I checked that. I already knew what it was. Do we have it? 7 million sats. Do we have 8 million sats? This is going to BTC Pay Server, one of the most important projects in the space. You have to look Brick Kelly in the face. We have 8 million sats. Do we have 9 million sats? 9 million sats for the Little Bitcoin Book. 9 million sats. Do we have 10 million sats?
Rockstar Dev is going to send a picture of his nipple
like,
too.
Like, Rockstar is going to look you in the face. He's going to be like, you sat in this room, and you did not bid 10 million sats for this book. Are you going to do that? Phil, are you going to do that? 10 million sats. Let's go. Let's go. 11 million sats. 11 million sats. Do I have 11 million sats for the Little Bitcoin Book? You want to call someone out? Little Bitcoin Book? Do we have 11 million sats?
If you guys don't bid, Matt is going to start roasting people.
Am I going to do that?
Yeah.
11 million sats. Do we have 11 million sats? BTC Pay Server, best project in the space. 11 million sats. 12 million sats, American HODL, you fucking little bitch. Are you going to bet? You're going to bid on this? 12 million sats. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Do we have it? We don't know where he is? Got it. 12 million sats. Let's go. There we go, Ben. Thank you. 12
Jimmy,
million
are you willing
sats.
To bet for your own book?
13 million sats for Jimmy Song's. Well, he did this with other people.
Well, it's not just him. Alex Gladstein, yeah. I believe yeah, Elena. Right.
Who else did they do it with?
Elena,
Jimmy, who else did you do this with?
Alejandro Machado might be in it.
Oh,
as
yeah,
well.
Machado, yeah. Yep. Okay, a lot of people did this. We're at 14 million sats now, right?
14 mil.
14 million sats.
Mike, can we
for
go back
BTC
to the dashboard?
Based server. BTC Pay server, most important project in the space. You're going to have to look at Brick Kelly. 20 million fucking sats. Let's go. Okay.
That's a whale man right there.
Let's be honest. You're all bitches, and no one's going to bid 21 million sats, right? Is, like, no one going to do that? Like, we're not, like, there's no way. There's no way.
Now, Parker's
21 million sats. Do we have 21 million sats? 21 million sats for this little Bitcoin book, which is actually really big on knowledge. It's like got a lot of shit in it, you know? It's like there's chapters. It's all about Bitcoin. PGP sign.
It's full of words.
Things. Yep. 21 million sats. Who's gonna top this for BTC Pay server? No one's gonna top this because you're all bitches. And we are sold at 20 million sats.
To Parker Lewis.
Thank you for your service. Okay, and now we have a cheaper option for the people who felt, I have to bring it over? And we're gonna walk through the crowd to bring this beautiful fucking
prize. Part of what was bid on was a visit to your table from Matt O'Dell.
To this beautiful winner. Do we know where he sends the sats? Where do you send the sats? Parker, where does he send the sats?
This is turning into a Tony Robbins event. He's in the crowd.
Is he sending it to BTC Pay server?
It's going to firewalk.
Yeah. He's buying them right now, guys. He's stacking.
It's
going
to firewalk for Matt here. That's what we need.
I have no idea where he's supposed to send them.
The trust falls start in 5 minutes.
Well, you bought them. Now you have to send them. You're going to make sure he sends them. Parker's...
Go and show this to people in the crowd.
Parker's going to enforce this, guys. It's important. It's important. Look at this. Look at this.
He's selling you an airline credit card right now.
Every person who has spoken today has signed this.
Who wants to join Matt's downline?
And it's going to BTC Pay server. This is a thank you for Star 9 Labs.
All you need to do is get three more people.
This is going to BTC Pay server. Do you guys have a heart? Are you going to do a big thing today? Are you going to make this worth it? Are you going to be bigger than yourself?
This is a combination
while
of
still
Tony
staying
Robbins
humble.
And Amway.
1 million sats. Let's go. Cheap bid. You get credit. Zach gets credit. 2 million sats. Let's go. 2 million sats. We got 2 million sats to Will Cole over there. Do we have 3 million sats? 3 million sats over there. 4 million sats for this gorgeous fucking thing. 4 million sats to BitVault
over
there.
Over
5 million
here.
Sats. Do we have 5 million sats? You're going to outbid yourself. 5 million sats. 6 million sats? 10 million sats to Uncle Zach over here. Do we have 11 million sats? Do you have 11 million sats? By the way.
In the back.
Zach, are you going to take that? 12 million sats. You're going to let him take that from you? You're going to let him take that from you? This is huge. 12 million sats. Let's go. 13 million sats. It comes with an embassy. Let's go. That's a fucking 2 million sat value right there. 15 million sats. Let's go. 15 million sats.
We're gonna up the stakes
sats.
Here.
Do we have 60 million sats?
Oh, he's back for more. We got
60 million sats. He's still here. Okay, 17
wait, wait,
million
wait, wait,
sats.
Wait, wait, wait,
let's
wait, wait,
go.
Wait, before we go higher, we're gonna up the stakes here. I'm gonna reach out to Bitcoin Sign Guy and make sure he does a half-hour Zoom call with you if you win this.
What, you really?
He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. He'll listen.
He's gonna try his best. We're like 95%.
30 minutes with one of the most interesting humans in the world.
He might kill you, Urbit, and it might not be worth it. Okay?
You are now bidding on Marty trying his best.
17 mil.
17 million sats. Marty distracted me. Who's the man here? Let's go. 18 million sats. Or lady. Free tickets next year. That's a 5 million sat value. Let's go. What do you have? 20 million sats for Jabari. Let's go. Do we have 21 million sats? This is huge. This is going to be big, guys. Like, it's going to be a big deal. You get a Star 9 Labs. Embassy.
You're
going to
get,
what? 21 million to Dan.
We're
going to
add more to it. We're going to get Bitcoin Sign Guy himself to sign it. We will get it to him and
we'll obviously. I mean, we'll try. 21 million sats. 21 million sats. Do we have 21 million sats?
Where does
we can break the
go?
Record for a bid. We can break the record for a bit. Do we have 21 million sats? Come on, guys. What is this, like a room full of Ethereum? Aren't you the top bid?
Jimmy's not here, Mike.
22 to Jabari. Let's go. 22. Dan, you're going to let him take it from you? You're going to let him take it from you?
22.5. 22.
No, 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 no. He's not allowed to do that. 23 million sats? 23 million sats. Do you take it? Let's go. Come on. What are you just going to stand there? 23 million oh. sats. Let's go.
From the country lawyer.
Sats? We have 24 million sats. Anyone? Bueller? What is that? They're going to engrave that. That's an extra million sats. Value. Tour of Gary's house with a pool.
Go to Gary's pool?
Gary, can they skinny dip? You can skinny dip in Gary's pool. That's like a 3 million sat valuation. Do we have 22 million sats? Do we have 22 million sats? Come on, guys. Come on. You're going to make it. Yes.
Yeah, I take that.
You don't have to ask.
Yeah, that's actually implied. He doesn't wear shirts anymore.
You can't ask the question and not do it, Phil. Okay, guys, the account you want to unfollow on Twitter is Phil Geiger. Okay? 23 million sats. Do we have 23 million sats? No one. I don't think it's going to happen.
We got it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think you're at 23, right?
Yeah, we used to.
So
Matt,
you're at 24 now.
This, we have to give
25.
It up.
What?
You're bending this thing. You gotta keep it straight.
Well, we'll do another one. What? 25 million sats. 25 million sats. No one's gonna bid this. We struggled for the 24. 25 million sats. Will anyone bid this? It is more expensive than the cutting board. It's more expensive than a little Bitcoin book, but it will be so valuable. It's gonna be so valuable in the future. You can fake every single person's checks if you get this. If you get this,
we don't use checks.
You just cut checks for every person on this list, and most of them are doing pretty well except for Marty. 25 million sats. Do I have 25 million sats? Going 3.
That was good.
2, 1. Sold to Jabari. Thank you, Jabari, for BTC Bay server. Thank you.
23 million sats of BTC Pay.
No, I think
take him back to Kingston, Jamaica.
That was 24.
Going back to Jamaica, 24 million sats.
Recorded.
Didn't think we would get that. It's going towards a good cause. That was it was a live rip. Does anybody have any? Apparently, there was a big question on here earlier. I don't know if that was from earlier, Mike, or
we have someone with a mic over there.
Somebody have a mic back there?
He went away.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, guys.
Yeah.
We love you all.
Guys, been a hell of a week. Shout out to Texas. Big fan of Texas. I only come down here for this conference. It's hot as balls down here, but it's worth it. End of August conference
balls
in Dallas
like self-regulating
is interesting timing,
wise.
But we're all here. We're all here. Yeah, I guess that's all we got this week, freaks. We got a semi-black tie event. There's only one dirtbag, scumbag. Weirdo. My mom told me not to hang out near him, but he's here in a tux for some reason. And
I don't think he's ever been in the sun ever in his life.
There's going to be a 10-minute break before the awards, just so everybody's aware.
So we're going to do some awards. Just warning you, wait. This is a very important warning.
Shut the fuck up.
Do not come near Dirtbag Al. He touches people weird spots. All right,
stay humble. Stack fucking sacks.
Peace and love, freaks.